Those of you who are new, we are studying Jetsun Kapa's greatest book on emptiness. It's called Gomba Rabsa. Say Gomba Rabsa. And a commentary on it from Serame Monastery. A very old commentary, maybe 400 years old. And a great commentary called Uma. Say Uma. Chiden. Uma means middle way, Majjhimika, emptiness. And Chidun means overview or a general presentation. And it explains Jetsun Kapa's work, which explains Chandrakirti's work, which explains Buddhapalita's work, which explains Baba Viveka, which explains Nagarjuna, who was explaining Lord Buddha. Something like that, okay? It's this theory that each generation adds a layer of wisdom, you see? And in some traditions, the more generations you get, the worse it gets. In this tradition, each generation makes it clearer and clearer. So we're working with the most recent generation, which is about 400 or 500 years old, okay? Kedupdamba Dage, from the greatest monastery in the world. Serame. Okay. And the way, I just want to encourage the new people. If you come new, okay, we're teaching this the way they teach it in the monastery. If it's way over your head, just keep coming, okay? If you don't want to learn Tibetan, that's fine. Just come. You see, in the monastery, you just keep coming, and the first week or the first month or in my case, the first 3 years, you don't know what they're talking about. You don't even know the language they're speaking, you know? And they told me, just keep coming, you know? Just keep coming, you know? And then one day you're just like, oh, in a two-hour lecture, I understood the word Gyalpa. I remember, you know? It was Gyalpo, it was king. I understood one word, you know? And I was so excited. I said, oh, now I understood one word, you know? I've been sitting here for, I don't know, months, and I just understood one word that he said, you know? And it'll go like that, okay? So don't think you have to be an expert or you have to know Tibetan. You can take this whole class, you don't have to know Tibetan. You don't have to do the homeworks if you don't want to do the homeworks. Expose yourself to the greatest book ever written on the greatest idea ever thought by mankind, okay? Just be here. And it will sink in. I think a lot of you might have noticed that His Holiness was talking about this book the whole weekend. That's how important it is. So just come, have a good time. I imported something important from Germany besides Ian and Beatrice and Thea. So I have gummy bears to keep you awake. So if you stay, you get these German gummy bears. And, you know, keep coming. And, you know, if you miss one, that's okay. Come to the next one. And if you can't be here, do it online. This is online. The most exciting thing, I think, last year was that Ted one day, it was Ted or Andrew, I don't remember. They just yelled, oh, someone's online from Lhasa, Tibet. Someone's taking the course in Tibet, you know, and that was really cool. So wherever you are, you can tune in on the web and you can continue the course, okay? So please do. All right, we'll get right to it. I got to see how I can get this on my lap. I even got the right text out. Wow. Let's read a little bit of what we did before. Mm. The main root text we're studying is Master Chandrakirti's Umalajupa, say Uma, La, Jupa. In Sanskrit, it's Madhyamaka, Avatara, which means getting into the middle way, entering the middle way. Okay, so can you see okay up there? Is that all right? When you're in 3-year retreat, I had this vision that this would be happening, you know? That everybody would be here and we'd be doing it. It's really cool. So, just like that. So, here he's saying, entering the middle way, Master Chandrakirti's book, enters into explaining the meaning of the root text on wisdom. What's that in Tibetan? Tsawa Shiram, okay? Tsawa means root text, Shiram means wisdom, okay? Nobody wrote Tsawa Shiram. Tamadru. Somebody did write Tsawa Shiram. Duh, Shoho. Yeah, Gombalung Ludu, Aryanagarjuna, okay? Aryanagarjuna, who lived about 200 AD, okay? So when did Master Chandrakirti live? About 650 maybe, something like that, okay? So we're getting an explanation of emptiness written by someone 400 or 500 years after Nagarjuna, okay? And it refutes that something could come from something else. Okay? It refutes that something could come from something else. Like the rainbow outside tonight didn't come from the sunlight and the clouds. Okay? Right? Right? Your car didn't get here because it had petrol in it, gasoline. Right? Right? What's keeping you alive is not the gummy bears, right? Right? Right. The things that seem to be causing things aren't causing things. Okay? Who made the rainbow? You made the rainbow. Okay? Like, pat yourself on the back. Double rainbow. Quite beautiful. Okay? You were kind to someone. You helped someone. You made something of beauty for someone. And therefore that rainbow came. But the apparent causes, the sunlight, the rain clouds, the sky, they didn't cause it. Okay, so that's what he means when he says it refutes quite successfully the idea of something growing from something else. Okay, so things don't grow from something else. Tamadu? Say tamadu? Things don't grow from something else. I'm just saying things don't grow from something else. I say because things don't grow from something else. Oh, things do grow from something else. So entering the middle way is not correct. Centering the middle way is correct. Centering the middle way does successfully refute the idea that something could grow from something else. So the rainbow didn't come from the cloud and the sun. Oh, so the rainbow didn't have a cause. Because it didn't grow from something else. Because the book says it didn't grow from something else. Right here. It refutes the idea that something grew from something else. Kabamachu. It does say stuff didn't grow from something else, but that doesn't mean... Okay, you get it. Okay. He was at Sarah this summer. All right. Nonetheless, all the workings of cause and effect are perfectly reasonable. Okay? Things do cause other things. All right? What caused the rainbow? I did. My goodness. I created beauty. Okay? So things do come from something else. Things work. You can't deny that things happen. Okay. Well, what's the difference between Mahayana and Hinayana? Greater way and lower way. Huh? Yeah, like, are you doing things to help all beings, or are you just doing them for yourself, right? But on a higher level, what distinguishes Mahayana from Hinayana? How they present emptiness, the idea of emptiness, okay? So here he says, Tsawa Shiram doesn't take as its explicit subject matter the far-reaching side of things. What's that mean? What is the far-reaching side of things? What's far-reaching mean? Yeah, Bodhisattva's way of life, Bodhisattva's activity. Like we had one this weekend. What was it? Main teaching. Yeah, but Dakshin Nyamje. Dakshin Nyamje. Exchanging yourself and others, making yourself equal with others, right? We had that teaching. That belongs to the side of the teachings called far-reaching. Why far-reaching? Gachewa. It reaches all beings. Okay? It reaches for all beings. Okay? So Master Nagarjuna's text didn't explicitly talk about that. It explicitly talks about the other side, which is what? Emptiness. Okay? Profound side of things. Okay. And even though it doesn't talk about bodhisattva activities, it still belongs to Mahayana. Okay? Why? First of all, because it presents emptiness by way of a nearly infinite number of proofs for emptiness. Okay? Why would that make it Mahayana? Why would that make it bodhisattva? If I represent emptiness to you, and I do it in a very expanded way, if I keep telling you more and more reasons why things don't exist from their own side, why would that mean you're a bodhisattva? Because it says that bodhisattvas love that kind of thing. You know, they don't want to hear emptiness one way. They want to hear it 1,000 different ways, right? They say if a bodhisattva hears about emptiness in a class, they start to cry. And they get chills up their spine. You know, that's the beginning of this book says that, right? So they don't want to hear about emptiness just one way. They don't want to get somebody to come up and say, oh, you know, things are empty. Okay, let's go on. You know, they want to sit here for 4 or 5 hours and hear why everything's empty over and over, many different ways, okay? If a book presented a million different arguments for emptiness but didn't talk about compassion, would it be a Mahayana book? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Because that's really what separates the men from the... the women from the girls, okay? Does it talk about emptiness in an advanced way? And then it's Mahayana, okay? That's his first argument. And the reason to present emptiness in a deep way is to attract Mahayana people, okay? So, especially at Diamond Mountain, frankly, we do these tours, we just got back an hour ago. We've been gone for 5 months. We go out fishing to hook somebody in Amsterdam or something. And it's kind of frustrating because we don't speak for more than an hour or 2 hours, and then we go on to the next place, and then we don't get to go very deep. But then when we get to Diamond Mountain, Christy and I often talk about it. We miss Diamond Mountain because this is where the hardcore people is. You know, this is where the this is where the bodhisattvas are. You know, they come here at great expense, personal expense, social expense, financial expense, to come out in the middle of nowhere and hear a million arguments for emptiness, you see? So in a way, you guys are like a bodhisattva audience, okay? Okay, now we'll start new translation. Those of you who are new, what I usually do is I break out the text into the translatable pieces. So give me a moment to do that. Yeah. Oh, really? I thought something like that might be the case. Let's see. You just saved us 6 weeks of work. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Let's try this one. Yeah? Okay. Let's start over again. Okay, let's try this one. Catch up to this semester. He says we are talking about the wish for enlightenment because it has all the parts of the wish for enlightenment. So what are they? What is the classical definition of bodhicitta? Do you remember? Huh? Samgye Pani? Shenajir? Right? Looks like you said that in the monastery or something. Semkipani bodhicitta is defined as Semkipani shendenchir, for the sake of others, I want to become a Buddha. Okay, so that's the definition of bodhicitta. So he says all those elements are here, meaning in order to lead every single living being to the state of a fully enlightened being, I'm going to achieve full enlightenment. Okay, so both parts necessary for bodhicitta are there. For the sake of everyone else, I will become a Buddha. And then they quote a sutra, which is supposed to reflect that definition. Now someone comes and says, kachik, what's a kachik? Somebody else. Someone says, ka means mouth, right? Chik means what? One. But kachik means one mouth, meaning one person comes and says, meaning someone comes and makes an argument. When you talk about a bodhisattva who has the bodhicitta as their cause, right? We're talking about things are being born from bodhicitta, right? So if you talk about that bodhisattva, are you talking about a baby bodhisattva or not? Okay, le domboa means baby. Just beginner. Le Damboa means a beginner, okay? And here it says, if you're talking about a fledgling bodhisattva, you must be wrong, because it is stated that entering the path of the greater way and giving birth to the wish in the greater way happen at the same moment, okay? And here it says, those who are of the greater way type first give birth to the wish for highest enlightenment. After that, they seek correct view of emptiness. And suppose you say we're not referring to a baby bodhisattva. You're still wrong, because bodhisattva is described in sutra as a moon that has just begun to wax, or the seedling of a medicinal plant. Okay, like the moon on the first day after the new moon. Okay, so are you talking about an experienced bodhisattva, or are you talking about a baby bodhisattva? So we can't accept the latter, which is what we're not referring to a fledgling bodhisattva, because that would contradict sutra. Sutra does say that we're talking about a bodhisattva in their very first stages. So we can't be referring to that. And if we say that it is a baby bodhisattva, there's no problem. And here they start to talk about bodhicitta. It's called Buram Ki Ro Tabu Semke. See, Buram Ki Ro Tabu Semke. Buram Ki Ro Tabu Semke. This is like a pre-bodhicitta, okay? It's called sugarcane bodhicitta, like you're just getting a taste of it. And there's a big debate about whether it's real bodhicitta. Okay, so he says here, the wish for enlightenment referred to here is the one that's like the piece of a sugar cane. You are still in training because you can't maintain it in prolonged meditation. And it is true that even Mahayana people who are relatively less sharp first give birth to Samkhya, bodhicitta, and then later seek the meaning of emptiness. But then he gives a quotation that there are people who, Mahayana people, who first grasp emptiness and then go on to have bodhicitta. And I remember we were in Bodh Gaya before three-year retreat, and we were doing the Diamond Cutter Sutra, and traditionally they say that to enter the Mahayana five paths, first you have to have bodhicitta, you have to want to become a Buddha for all living beings. And only on the third path, much later, do you see emptiness directly, right? That's the traditional explanation. And then I remember we got to the sixth class, and I said, well, it has happened the opposite way, you know. You can perceive emptiness directly. And then in the hours following that, you can have a direct experience of bodhicitta. And I remember some guy coming up to me and telling me, oh, no, I read some books, it doesn't go that way, you know. Well, here it is, okay, here it is in a scripture, that it happens that way. If the bodhisattva is of a higher type, higher, sharper intellect, then they do it the other way around. They would have a direct insight into emptiness first, and then shortly after have a direct perception of bodhicitta. Okay, we're up to the dollar signs, and we're going to start translating. Okay. So the way we do this is, those of you who are new, I say this stuff in Tibetan, okay? And then you repeat back to me. And there are certain sounds that you have to get right, okay? Some are low tone. They go like this. Ah, say ah. Ka. Ta. Hold, touch your throat, voice box. Ka. It's vibrating here, okay? Ka. So there's no English ka. It's like you're going, ah, say ah, ah. We call it Brazil, why? Not Peru. Why? Because in the airport in Brazil, the lady who makes the announcements, she's very famous in Brazil. She goes, flight number 537, you know. And she's got this voice box thing, okay? So, ah. So if I go like that, it means low tone voiced. Voice means make an ah here. Say again, ka, ta. Okay? If I go like this, it means high tone. Say ta, ta. Hear the difference? Ta, ta. Okay? Then if I go, it means ta, ta. Like you're tired. Ta. So now you have three sounds already. Say ta. 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 Okay? Then there's a real English D. Da. Da. So we have four already. We have four. I'll do them again. Ready? Ta. 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 Da. And there's one more. Okay? You make a little N sound in front of it. Like we were in Paris, right? And everybody's going. Sorry, Ben. I mean, everything's from your nose, right? So, say N and then say D. Listen. Nda. 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 We'll do it one more time. Ta. 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 Da. I'll be French, okay? Nda. Nda. Those are all different words. Da means horse. Da means horse. Ta means the end. Ta means now. Da means like, does it have a meaning? Not really. It's in the word for anger. And then da means an arrow. Okay? So if you can't hear the difference between these five, you're in trouble. Okay? Then you will never be a great translator. Okay? So listen to them again. Ta. 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 Da. Da. I got it? Fine. So watch my hands while we pronounce, okay? And you can watch the screen, and we'll do it together. And you won't be perfect, and just stick in there. And then one day you'll find yourself doing it. You know, my first big debate in the monastery, I just did it. And then later I'm like, wow, I did it, you know, and I didn't realize I was doing it. You just walk in and you do it, right? So keep going. Just make the noise. Follow the program. You will be a translator if you don't give up. I can't help you. If you give up, I can't do anything. If you don't come, I can't do anything. If you come, you will be a translator, okay? Sooner or later. Okay, here we go. Follow the first line there. I'll put it up at the top. Say, Tangbo, Deta, Yinte, Namshe, Gomba, Rabsel, Le. One more time. Tambo, Deta, Yinte, Namshe, Gomba, Rabsel, Le. This means stretch it out a bit. Say Le. Say Le. 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 I'm going to hang three on you. Ready? Le. 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 Here's three different lengths of it. I'll do it one more time. Le. 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 Okay? So not only you have to pay attention to the tone, like da, ta, ta, da, da, right? You have to pay attention to how long the thing is, okay? Le means your brain. Le, okay? You have a problem with your le. In Tibetan, they say, oh, le ma cha. He has a problem with his brain. Le, okay? Le, say le. It's cut short, hear it? Le. Le. Then le is the word for lelo. What's lelo? Lay low means be lazy. You just learned your first Tibetan word, okay? Lay low. Anyone can remember lay low. I'm laying low, I'm lazy. Okay, lay low. That's a medium length. Then lay. Lay. That's karma. Okay? That's karma. So, I'll give it to you again. Say le. Brain. Cut short. Lay. As in lay low means lazy. Okay? Now, lay. Karma. Okay, so I'm going to say one of the three. You tell me what it is. You just yell. This is a Geshe Thich Nhat Hanh class. Okay? Le. Brain. Okay. Le. Le. Lazy. One more time. Le. 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 Lazy brain. Okay. Okay. Okay, then we'll start translating. What's tumble mean? First, okay. Because Namshe Gomba Rabsa says, what's Namshe Gomba Rabsa? What's Gomba Rabsa? It's the book you're studying. Now you have to know that. Say, Gomba, Rabsa. Okay, Illumination of the Clear Thought. This is Jetsun Kapa's great book. Okay, so who's quoting it? Somebody's about to quote it to prove something, which means we're not in Gomba Rabsa, because somebody's quoting it. Who's quoting it? Kedub Denpa Dargye, this great writer from Serame. Okay, so he's writing an explanation. Now he's going to use Gomba Rabsa to prove a point. Okay. This is true because What's the first of these? You have to know what you're trying to prove. He's trying to prove something, right? He's made a statement, and now he's going to prove it. We got to go back and see what's the first one. All right? Here we go. I think you need gummy bears already. You're really slow. Okay. This is where you go hunting for number one, okay? You go hunting for number one. We actually have three ideas. He's presented three ideas. What's the first idea? Yeah. That we might be talking about a preliminary bodhicitta. So that's idea number one, okay? But then he said, those who are not so sharp get the wish first and then explore emptiness. That was his second statement. But then he has a third statement. Those who are really sharp see emptiness first, and then get their direct experience of bodhicitta. Now, what's his first? We don't know. But we'll see from the context of the quotation. Get it? If this quotation from Gombo Rabsa is talking about sugarcane bodhicitta, we know he was talking about the first of the three. Okay, let's see what it was talking about. But you have to read it with me first. Okay? You ready? Say, Changsem. Ki. Ngundu. Hear it? Ngundu. Now, we got Bengami. Ndowe. Semke. Pani. That's a joke. Get it? A person in the monastery would get it. Ngundu doe, Semke Pani. What's he doing? Jetsun Kapa is giving you a subconscious reference to Abhisamayankara, Semkepani. Mundudoi, Semkepani. Why do you say something? It's not normal, you see? He's like making a pun. People who really know their stuff will say, ah, Jetsun Kapa's got a pun in there, okay? Semkepani. Say, Semke, Gombe, Kapla, Gonki, Gombala, Tene, Tene, Kepe, Semke. Ng, mayino, she, sume, chie. Hey, you gotta get this down, okay? Let's see, where's your hand going? Yeah, good. No, those are people who went to Sarah this summer. I assume they're not doing this anymore, right? Okay. Seven brave souls went to Sarah. Seven? Brave souls went to Sarah May this summer and studied, okay? And they're great debaters now, so. We'll see. Okay. I'll translate it, okay? Okay, in English, when they speak here about developing a wish which is preliminary for a bodhisattva, and by the way, what's the word, it's not so much in our tradition, but other traditions, when they say, I'm doing my preliminaries, like in the Kagyu tradition. It's ngundro. So here's the full form right here. Ngundu dowe. Okay, say ngundu dowe. And then you shorten it into ngundro. Say ngundro. Okay, so when they speak, so you know that word. When they speak here about developing a wish which is preliminary for a bodhisattva, what they're talking about is the wish that you have while you're still working on the wish, and not the actual wish, which you develop through much practice. Okay, what's he talking about? Sugarcane bodhicitta. Okay, so he's going back three paragraphs. So when he says the first, what he's talking about is that sugar. He's saying there is such a bodhicitta, sugarcane bodhicitta, okay? Which is like a cause for a bodhisattva. All right? Which is a cause for bodhisattva. So, when Master Chandrakirti bows down to the causes for a bodhisattva, is he talking about the causes for a very experienced bodhisattva, or could he be talking about the causes for sort of like a baby bodhisattva? The baby, because we're talking about the sugar cane. Okay? We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Okay, we're going to read the first line together. Now, a warning. You know there's these stacked letters in Tibetan, right? Like one letter gets stacked on top of another. And L sometimes gets stacked on top of H, okay? And so ever since the British first got to Tibet, they called the capital of Tibet what? Lhasa, okay? And we all know that in this case, you read the stack backwards. You start with the bottom letter first, and then you say the top letter, which means what? Lhasa. Say H-L-A. Lhasa. Say Lhasa. Lhasa. So, you know, hopefully they'll change the spelling someday. All right? But it should have been the other way around. So let's do this one together. Say Lhak. Sam. Kulwe. Ndo. Le. Laksam, kulwe, ndole. Okay, do you hear the ndo? Okay, it's not always that obvious in the monastery, right? Like I'm overdoing it. But what does do mean? Like in Dorje Chupa, stone. What's the word for diamond in Tibetan? Dorje. What's J mean? Like in Je Tsongkhapa. The Lord, right? So Do-je means the Lord of stones. Do means stone, okay? If you have a prenasal French on it, I'm not making fun. That was my favorite country, but I tell all the countries that. Say Do. When you put a prenasal on it, it means sutra, okay? Sutra. So if somebody said Do, you know they're talking about a rock or a stone. If somebody said Do, yeah, you're talking about. There's this joke about Lord Atisha when he got to Tibet, and he said, there's two words for stone. One is do, and one is pabong. Say pabong. Like these big, huge boulders around here are called pabong. And Pabongka's monastery was named after this. It's actually perched on top of one of these huge boulders, you see. So that's why he was called Pabongka. So Lord Atisha, he was just studying Tibetan. He didn't know much Tibetan yet. So he had heard this word. Somebody pointed to a, he said, what's the word for stone, you know? And somebody pointed to a boulder. He pointed to a boulder and they said, pabong. So he said, oh, well, I have a pabong in my shoe, you know, and I have to stop now. And everybody started laughing, you know, and that's a long story. But anyway, he had brought a very irritating student with him to Tibet to keep his patience practice sharp. So he brought with him to Tibet only one person. He brought his worst student. He brought the one that was most irritating. And the Tibetans used to ask him, why did you bring that one? You know, you have like thousands of students. Why did you bring the most? Why do you keep this one around you close all the time? He says, this is my patience practice, you know. But on the day that he made the mistake about the stone and all the Tibetans laughed, he said, he told them, well, now I can send him back home. So anyway, now you know the difference between a pabong and a do. Okay? Pabong and do. Do. Okay? So here. Laksam kuwe do. What's laksam? Laksam. Personal responsibility. It's like step number 6. His Holiness talked about it this weekend. Step number 6 in the 7-step practice for learning bodhicitta, right? So it's like, I like Laksam. Laksam is like Doug Veenhoff or Michael Brannon. It's like, Laksam means, I don't care if no one's going to help me on this thing. I'll get it done. Okay? Not only will they not help you, they'll criticize you. Okay? See, I don't like the color of the wall. It's a little too, like, brown for me. You know? And, you know, like, you just spent a year or 2 years sweating every day, struggling, burning in the sun, getting this place up. No one helped you. That's Laksam. Then they complain about the color to you, you know. And that likes to step beyond Laksam, all right? So, kuwa means to urge someone. So how would you translate Laksam kuwe do? Say again? The sutra that urges us to take personal responsibility. Is that cool? You like that?
Okay.
Now it's going to be, listen to it, okay? Listen to it. When you do something which is poetry, you read it in pairs. So just listen first, okay? Buram shingshun nyingbo jiang me gawar gyurpe roni nangnadu shimba supe mini buram ro shimbo nyepa gyurpa mayino jita shimba deshim mawate rotabuni dila dunsem yin. Okay? That's... poetry, and it's the same amount of beats. Buram shing shun ningbo chiang me, 9 beats, right? Gawar gyurpe roni nangna du, 9 beats. So when you're translating and you come across 4 lines in a row that have 9 beats, you cut it out like this and then you have to try to make it into poetry, okay? So let's translate it first, okay? Buram means brown sugar. Or it can refer to the sugar cane, okay? Shing, buram shing means sugar cane. Shing means tree, okay? You want to do shas? Let's do shas. Say shing. 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 Shing means tree or wood, okay? Shing. Say shing. 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 That's low tone. That shing means field, like a Buddha field. Buddha paradise is called a shing. Okay, so listen. Shing. 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 Now, in transcription, okay, when we're trying to show the letters in English letters, we need to use SH for one, and because there's no other English way, we use ZH for the other one. Okay? But it doesn't mean what? That you say Jing. Okay? Shing. Shing. Unless you're from Kham. If you go to Garchen Rinpoche's place in Prescott, you'll hear him, I talk about the shing, the yin. They say I want to talk to Tibet a lot there. Because they come from East Tibet. Okay, yeah, so they're always like, oh, to be shing. You know, yin. You know, Geshe Zerpa. Okay, like that. Okay, so it just depends on what part of Tibet you're from. They would say that Central Tibetans talk like this, and they're always talking like that. You don't want to understand. You know? Okay. Okay, like that. All right. So, Buram Shing means sugar cane. Shun means the the sheath, or what do you call it? Like the husk. Husk is good. Okay. Buram Shing Shun means the husk of a sugar cane, piece of sugar cane. Ningbo Jian Me. Ningbo means what? Essence or heart. What's Shirab Ningbo? Heart Sutra. It's the real name of the Heart Sutra. The essence of wisdom. The heart of wisdom. Okay. Shirab Ningbo. Shi Jin. Did I get it right? Shi Jin. No. Nope. When you say Chinese to somebody and they go like that. Shi Jin. Shi Jin. Shin Jin. Okay. Shin Jin. Sorry. Okay, anyway, we studied it this summer and I forgot the name. Okay. Shin Ningbo Jiang Me. Jiang means nothing at all. Me means doesn't have any essence at all. So what's that translated? That first line. Yeah, a piece of sugarcane, especially the outer husk of a piece of sugarcane, it has no core. Here it means like core. It's hollow on the inside, right? Nothing in the core. Gawar gyope roni nangna de. Gawa means what? Gawa means happiness. Okay, what's ganden? It's the place which has happiness. Tushita. Okay, tushita. In Sanskrit, gawa is tush. To be pleased or to be happy. Okay, tushita. Ganden. And the monastery is called ganden for that reason. Okay, gawar gyurpe ro. What's ro? Rasa in Sanskrit. Rasa. Taste. The taste, the ro. Ro has another meaning. What is it? Rolang. What's a rolang? Rolang means a risen corpse, a zombie. Okay? Ro can also mean corpse. So you got to be careful with your dictionaries. Okay? Here it means taste. Nung. What's a nungba? What's a nungba? A Buddhist. Nung means inside. Chi nung tabla zorbet. Chi nung tabla zorbet. Chi nung. You had it this yesterday. Day before. Qi, outside and inside. We're supposed to work from the inside and the outside. So nang means inside. Nang na du. Du. You know du. Du is the old word for it is. It's there. Okay. So nang na du means what? The raw nang na du. The nice taste is on the inside. Okay. Like if you eat that kind of sheath that comes with a piece of sugar cane, you don't really get the taste. It's on the inside, okay? It's that, you know, if you've ever been to India and they crushed up sugarcane for you and you've got the 40,000 bugs, what do you call it? Microbes in there. They leave it out all day and then they crush it for you and they give you it in a drink and like 2 hours you have diarrhea, okay? So, garagyupe roni nang na du. The good taste is on the inside. The good taste which makes you happy is on the inside. Shimba sepe mini pramro. Shimba se. Say shimba. Se. Se means se. Se means sa. Sawa. What's that mean? To eat. Okay, sawa means to eat. So shimba se. Shimba sa means what? He's eating the shimba. He's eating the husk. Okay? That guy, me. Me means guy. Okay, me means guy. Here it's instrumental. By that guy. The guy who eats the husk. Buram ro shimbo. Say shimbo do. Shimbo do. How do you like the dinner? Shimbo do. They don't say yabo do, okay? That's like lame. That's like, eh, it's good. Shimbo do means tastes great. Okay, shimbo means tastes great. Okay, shimbo means tasty. Shimbo do gue. Shimbo do gue. Do you like the food? Shimbo do. Yeah, it's great. Okay? Shimbo du. Alright? Say du. In modern colloquial Tibetan, du means I experienced it. There's 3 words for is, 4 words for is. This is means I've experienced it directly. I mean, du means it is. Say shimbo du. It is good. You know, like I know, I tasted it. Okay? So shimbo nyepa. Kenshin Rinpoche taught this last Friday. Nyeka. Dunche nyeka, tenjor dunche nyeka. Tenjor means leisures and fortunes. Nyeka, dunche, hard to find, hard to find. So here, nyepar gyur, to get to the taste, to find the taste. Mayan. Mayan. He won't. He won't get the taste. Who? The guy who eats the shumba. The guy who eats the husk. He's not going to get the taste because the taste is inside. Okay? Shumba ne bagir mayano. Jitar shumba de shimba wate. This is hard to translate, but jitar, just like the shimba, just like the husk, deshin, in the same way, is mawa. Mawa means to talk about something, like vaibhashika means chitta mawa, bhashika means to talk about something, okay? Talking about it is like the husk, okay? Rotabuni, but if you want something like the taste, it's the dun sem. It's the mind which really understands the meaning. It's the idea that really understands the meaning. So what he's saying is that talking about love is like the husk. And you can chew on that all day. And you won't get any sugar taste out of it, right? Like a gummy bear. Where's my backpack? Can you open it? Should be in there. These are presents from Gerald and his crew from Germany. Great people we met in Berlin. Ian and Beatrice translated in the same day. We picked up Michael and Gerald. I got both of them. She didn't know that. So start them in different directions. Give me some too. Okay. It's time. It's like you're already sleepy. Okay. So. Oh, thank you. Yeah. What did we decide? Let's have a vote. I'm not trying to influence you or anything, but to me, skin is sort of neutral. And to me, husk is, it sort of implies dried up and old. And okay, who likes husk? Okay, all right. What's that? Okay. Okay. It might fit here. Never finds the true taste, the true sweetness, the sweetness, the sweetness. Oh, by the way, part of this class is, even if you don't know Tibetan, I really like to have you here, because what's happened in the past classes for the last year is that we would discuss the translation as we go, and then people will yell out, okay? If you have a great idea to translate this, just yell out. And then oftentimes it's the best idea in the class. And sometimes I even take it. So, okay, here we go. Oh, their time, right? The real thought is like the, what do you want to call, sweetness is too long now. It says taste in the Tibetan, so. It's like the taste? It's like the, who said flavor? I like, is flavor okay? I always have to prove it with my boss, you know. Taste. Taste is off or flavor is off? Okay. She wins. Sorry? Essence? No, I can't do that. I'll tell you why. He's also making a statement on emptiness. You see? So, you know, there's also this undercurrent of emptiness because it's hollow. I mean, so it's kind of like never finds the essence or sweetness. Never gets the sweetness. I like sweetness. Okay, anyway, I've voted everybody. Okay, that happens sometimes. Okay. Let's hear your gummy bear accent. We gave Chukila a big bag of those, and she left it in the car, and we went to hear His Holiness, and we came back, it was like all liquid. Okay. Say, Chu, Sumbo, De, Changsem, Le, Dangboe, Gu, Tso, Yimba, Gombo, Ludupki. Gongba, Yinte, Rinchen, Tewa, Ne. What's Chö mean? Dharma, okay, Dharma. Sum, three. Chanju Semba, short Changsem. Chanju Semba? Chanju Semba, Bodhisattva, okay, Bodhisattva. Okay. Le Damboa means that beginner. How do we translate it just now? Fledgling? Yeah. Okay. What's a gyu as opposed to a debu? Cause. Good. What's the tso in Lamki Namtsum? Lamso Namtsum. Principle. Main. Three principal paths, right? You know all these words. You just don't know them. Gumbo means nata in Sanskrit. Nata. Protector, like a protector, like a savior, like a savior. Ludup, Naga Arjuna, Naga Arjuna. Lu means Naga, the snake, right? Arjuna means like has gained control over the snakes because Master Nagarjuna could make Nagas do what he wanted and he went to the Naga land and got all these books for us, but that's another story. Gongba, true thought, like in Gomba Rabso, which is the book you're studying. Okay. Gomba Yente, that's the true thought. Because Rinchen Tewa says, did you ever hear of Rinchen Tewa? His Holiness quoted it 438 times this weekend. Ratnamala, right? Ratnamala, okay? It's like his favorite book of Arya Nagarjuna, and he quotes it all the time. I'm thinking we should study it someday because he keeps quoting it. Okay. What are the three qualities that make a baby bodhisattva grow? We had it. We debated it last semester. I forgot. I don't know. Say again. Yeah, great compassion, the state of mind that transcends duality, and bodhicitta. Okay, these are the three principal causes of a baby bodhisattva. Okay? So he's just kind of wrapping up, I think. And he says, these are the main three causes of a bodhisattva, because that's also what Aryanagarjuna thought. So he's going to quote Aryanagarjuna. We'll do this quote and then we'll stop. Because we're at our time, right? I think. No? Do I stop at 7:30? Oh, I can keep blabbing. Okay, you won't fall asleep because you had the gummy bears. Let's read it together, okay? This is a poetry. I say, Dagni, Dagni, Jigten, Di, Lame, Chanju, Tomdu. Hear the prenasal? Tomdu. Na, Dei, Zawa, Changchu, Sem, Riwang, Gyalpo, Tarteng, Dang. Sheso. Sume. Cheer. Okay. Don't be lazy. Dag means what? Me. Dagni means yourself. Jigten. Loka in Sanskrit. The world. I am the world. Lana mepa. Lame. Anuttara. Nothing higher. For example, highest yoga tantra, Anuttara Yoga Tantra, which you will step into tomorrow. Okay, that's lame. Lana mepa means that. Okay, there's a good use of the word lama in its original meaning. So lama means what? Higher one. Guru means heavy. Okay, guru came into English as gravity or grave. Okay, but la means higher. Lama means higher one. Lame means nothing higher. Lame, what's the highest thing of all if nothing's higher than it? Changju. What's Changju? Enlightenment. Top. Top means to attain. De means I agree. Or it can mean if you want. De na means if you want. So translate these two lines. It's actually if you want you and everyone else in the world to attain highest enlightenment, okay? If that's a very beautiful already, you know. He didn't say if you want to get to Buddhahood. He said if you want to get to Buddhahood and see everybody else get to Buddhahood too, okay? If you yourself want to go there and you want to see the whole world go there, well then you better have Dei Tsawa. What's Tsawa? Tsawa shira means what? Root, mula, root, okay? That's the root. So dei tsawa, the root of that is chang chub gisem. Bodhicitta, the wish for enlightenment, okay? And the chang chub sem that you have better be temba. Temba in this spelling means firm, unshakable, like ri wang gyalpo, ri wangbo. Ri, what's a ri? Mountain. Gyalpo? King. And wangbo means Ishwara, like king. So ri wang gyalpo means the king of all mountains. What's that? Mount Meru. Now you got to understand Buddhist geography. His Holiness was picking on it this weekend. The third chapter of Master Vasubandhu's work that he kept picking on and he said he would rewrite is the one that says ri wang gyalpo is in the middle of the world. The world looks like a big dinner plate. We're in a continent off to the side. If you go too far, you're going to find, you know, like that, okay? So, but in the middle of the whole universe is this huge mountain, Mount Everest, okay? The universal mountain. 40,000 miles high or something like that, okay? It's a huge mountain. The main thing about that mountain is that it's unshakable. It's totally unshakable. Nothing can move that mountain. Okay? That mountain is, it is the steadiest and most immobile thing on this planet. So he says, your Changchub Sem has to be like that. Meaning what? Your bodhicitta, your wish to help other people, has to be that firm, that unshakable, you know? You decide you're going to help all people. Then you go to the gas station and some weird guy is yelling at you, you know? How strong is your bodhicitta? How unshakable is your bodhicitta, you know? You build a temple for all those students. You sweat over it for 2 years, you know? Or you stand out here in the sun and help for no money, just working, you know? And then, you know, they all come in and the first thing they say is, I don't like the brown, you know? Like, how strong is your Semke? How strong is your bodhicitta? Is it going to waver or are you going to be firm? You see, that's Dembo. I think this quotation is kind of cool. Why? I'll say the whole quotation again, okay? If you want to help yourself and others get to enlightenment, highest enlightenment, then your wish for enlightenment must be as firm as the universal mountain. What's interesting about this quotation? Huh? Well, he said echo effect. If you want to see something in others, try to develop it yourself. Get this. He's already talking about something with bodhicitta. It's weird. It's really weird. If you want to help yourself and everyone else, then you should have bodhicitta. What is bodhicitta? Wanting to help everybody. I mean, it's cool. It's a very weird quotation, you see? To me, it's a little weird. You know, if you want to see yourself get enlightened and everybody else, then you should develop bodhicitta. But you already got it if you want that. You see, I mean, it's a very weird quotation to me. I don't know. It strikes me as weird, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. Get it? If you want to really wish that everyone could be enlightened, if you wish that everyone could get enlightened, then you should wish that everyone could get enlightened. That's what he's saying, okay? I think so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but what they're saying is maybe, I think that's very beautiful. Alexander said, he's already talking about the preliminary bodhicitta and the real bodhicitta. See, the real one is the one you got through last line there. Where was that? The one that you develop through much practice is the one that's like Mount Meru. And then the one that if you want to help yourself and others is like the sugarcane one. So I think Alexander's got the point very beautifully. It's like he's already talking about two levels of bodhicitta. If you have this vague wish that you could help everybody, then you should go and get a really firm bodhicitta after much practice, right? Like that. I think it's very beautiful. I think he's already talking about two levels of bodhicitta here. Okay. How do you want to translate Demba? I want something sexier. Is that okay? Yeah. Just for those of you who are pretty good at Tibetan, there's a sok here, which means what? Etc. So I have to go back up here and say, and this is true because he states, because he makes statements like the following. So consciousness is still there, yeah? And then they'll hear. He'll hear what we say. Okay? Just passed? Just passed away. Okay? Consciousness is still there. So make your pronunciation just right. Okay. Did I miss a line in the previous quotation? I just made it shorter, but I didn't miss a line. Yeah. Still warm. Okay, here we go. Say Nyingje, Chembo, Dzogpe, Changchubgi, Gyur, Sungba, Dang, Changsem, Le, Tamphoe, Gyu, Tsuo, Yimba, Mingya, Te. Okay, there's an argument coming, right? He's making an argument, okay? What's it mean? Is there a cause in this quotation in English? Is there a cause? And a result? What's the cause? The wish for enlightenment, right? Bodhicitta. What's the result? Everybody, you and everybody else reaches enlightenment. Okay? What's the cause? A very firm wish. What's the result? You and everybody else gets enlightened. What's the cause and effect we've been talking about all night? The cause was what? Like a preliminary type of bodhicitta. And what did that produce? A baby bodhisattva. Okay? We've been talking about bodhicitta as one of the three principal causes for a baby bodhisattva. This quotation by Aryanagarjuna is saying bodhicitta is a cause for what? Matchless enlightenment, highest enlightenment, right? Did I put matchless? Yeah. Okay. Whoa. So the other guy's a nudnik, right? He's always whining. He's always complaining. Kachik is always coming saying, I didn't like that. What did he come and say? What's he going to say, object to? We're just quoting Aryanagarjuna because we want to prove that bodhicitta is necessary for baby bodhisattvas. But what did Aryanagarjuna really say? You need bodhicitta to become a Buddha. Okay, got it? All Aryanagarjuna said in Rinchen Tang was, you need bodhicitta to become a fully enlightened Buddha. Kedutama Dage is using it to prove that you need it to become a baby bodhisattva. So the nudnik guy is like, yeah, but he's not proving the same thing that you're trying to prove. Okay, all right, got it? The guardian said what? You need bodhicitta to get highest enlightenment. He used the quotation to prove what? Baby bodhisattvas need bodhicitta to become baby bodhisattvas. So the guy's coming and say, I don't get it why you use that quotation. That's contradictory. They're completely different things. Aryanagarjuna is talking about how you get to highest enlightenment. You're talking about how you become a baby bodhisattva. It's completely different things. Okay? Ready? Got it? Here we go. Say, Nyingje, Chembo, Dzogpe, Changchub, Ki, Gyur, Sungba, Dang, Changsem, Le, Dongpoe, Gu, Zo, Yimba, Mingyalte. Okay, what's Ningje? Yeah, compassion. In Sanskrit? Yeah, it was in the last yoga series we did. What? Maitri. Maitri Karuna. Okay. So, Karuna comes from a root kar. Anybody speak Russian? What's the Russian word for roof or cover of a car, hood of a car? It's krish. Krish. It comes from kar, meaning to cover or protect, you see? So, Karuna comes from a root which means to cover or protect somebody, kar, okay? Karuna. Nyingje Chenpo is Maha Karuna, great compassion. All those ACI people know the difference between great compassion and normal compassion. What? Huh? Yeah, I guess, I don't remember. He said Maha Karuna is directed towards all living beings. And it is also a lot more like determined. Okay. All right. Is the gyu of Dzogpe Changchu is the cause of total enlightenment. Okay. Is there an untotal enlightenment? Why do they say Samyak Sambuddhaya? Why do they say total enlightenment? It seems dumb to me. I mean, either you're enlightened or you're not enlightened. I mean, what's total? Is there like a halfway enlightened? Yeah, then the nirvana of the two lower tracks is sometimes called enlightenment, and it's not total. Okay, so there it does have. I struggled over that for years. I was like, it seems dumb to call it total enlightenment. I mean, do you get like halfway enlightened? Like, I don't know. Okay, Sumbadang, Chansam Nandabong Gyutso. I'm just going to translate it because it's a little late. I only got 10 minutes. McNally kicks me out. Got it? Okay? Right? He says, but that's not the same thing. And we said, but there's no problem there. I mean, if something causes enlightenment, it's no problem to say it causes a baby bodhisattva. All right? What's understood and what you have to understand as a translator is that in between that line and the last line, the guy came up and said that thing. Okay? I mean, there's a great, really good translator you have to understand. The guy came and made an objection, and we're responding to his objection. He said, Rigpa Goma Sung. It's not parallel logic. You're trying to prove that it's a cause of a baby bodhisattva. Ayanagarjuna's quotation proves that it's a cause for total enlightenment. Hey, but anything that's a cause for total enlightenment is probably a cause for a baby bodhisattva, wouldn't you say? You see, you're just coming back with that. Got it? Nod. Nod, okay. Rinpoche used to say nod. You know, we were like half asleep and we didn't hear what he said for the last 20 minutes. You're like, okay. Say, Tsawe, Gyu, Shepa, Dedang, Dangbu, Gyu, Dun, Yinxing, Kapdir, Changsem, Le Dangboe, Gyu Zhou, Sun, Tunbe, Kap, Yinbe Chi. Okay. I gotta digest this one. Hang on. Okay, so he covers himself in two ways. Aryanagarjuna said, the root, right? Here. Where is that? Oh, I left that out. So he calls bodhicitta the root, okay? And down here, Kedutama Dargye says, he is too talking about the cause for a baby bodhisattva because he uses that word root. And root means first, okay? Initial cause. Maybe we should say initial, yeah? And moreover, this whole quotation comes in a place where Aryanagarjuna is talking about the causes for a baby bodhisattva. He's trying to describe three causes for a baby bodhisattva. So you can't say, my quotation from Aryanagarjuna is dumb. It fits. It totally fits. Okay? Got it? For two reasons. What's the first reason? He said root, which means baby cause, first cause, initial cause. And secondly, this whole quotation comes in a place where Aryanagarjuna is talking about the causes for a baby bodhisattva. Got it? Nod. Okay, here we go. So let's go through those three causes again. For a bodhisattva. You want to be a bodhisattva, you're going to have these three things. What are they? Great compassion. The state of mind that transcends duality or is getting some kind of understanding about emptiness, and then bodhicitta. Now, we move on to a new subject, okay? Is there any interaction between those three? Does any of those three maybe come before the other two? Which one? Let's read it together, okay? Say, gyu. Sumbo, de, changsem, le, damboe, gyu, yimbar, ma se. Hear the low tone? Se. Se means not only that. Se means to kill. You don't want to say se when you want to say se. Say se. Se. Semchen, dunga, le, kyomdu. Very heavy prenasal. If you say gyomdu in the monastery, they don't know what you're talking about. Say gyomdu. Gyomdu. Ki. Nyingje. Chembo. De. Gyushin. Nyiki. Tsawa. Yinte. Okay. Got it? By the way, it's not only that the case that these three causes are what causes a fledgling bodhisattva. That's true because great compassion wherein you seek to protect all living beings from pain is the very root of the other two causes. He's implying that if you cared a lot about other people, you could get what two other qualities? Understanding of emptiness and bodhicitta. Okay? And if you had all three, then you'd be a baby bodhisattva. Got it? Okay? So where would you start? Yeah, trying to be concerned about other people's pain, other beings' pain. Okay? Because that would trigger bodhicitta and an understanding of emptiness. And those three together would make you a bodhisattva. And then you'd be on the path. Okay? Got it? I guess so. Because he says initial causes, right? I'm just talking, he says fledgling bodhisattva. But I don't think it's, he'd say mingelte. It's not contradictory. You know, if something is a cause for the first moment of an apple tree, it's a cause for the apple tree at its peak. I don't think it's contradictory. You know what I mean? Yeah. Say again? Oh, you're right. Okay. Even Bill Gates got that. He's got that thing on him. Yeah, okay. Hang on a second. Sorry? Would it also apply to a person? Yeah, that's a good question. Let me think about it. I guess not, maybe. Maybe. I think it would be. I think it would be. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, the actual experience of bodhicitta would come later. So she asked if the order of the three causes would be the same for a person of higher faculties. I think on one level, yes, one level, no. On the actual direct experience, maybe not. As on the in the level of developing, they I think they'd obviously have to have a concern for others first, way back earlier, like that. Okay, how's that? Now he's going to go on to a line, and we'll stop here, where it can compares enlightenment to crops, corn crops, and then it explains that other emotions, other spiritual levels like bodhicitta and understanding emptiness are like the fertilizer or the water. And he's going to explain the idea of causation of a bodhisattva in terms of crops. Okay? There's going to be a metaphor of some crops. Okay? All right, we'll stop there. It's hard for you. It's in a foreign language. I actually had a very fine student at this point. She jumped up. She ran into the bathroom bawling, you know. And I was like, what's going on, you know? And I sent someone to ask her. And she came back and she said, she wants to know if you really got to know all this to get enlightened. You know? Like, do you have to know the right pronunciation of four different palatals? I mean, is this really necessary, all this stuff, you know? And she got so frustrated. Because she felt like it was important, but it she just didn't have an aptitude for it, you know. And again, even if you have no interest in learning Tibetan, you don't feel like you want to be a linguist, you think this is nitpicking, like, the whole purpose of this is overkill, okay? The whole purpose of this is overkill, okay? You talk about 29 variations of bodhicitta, you talk about 14 ways in which it could be caused, and the whole point is that when you go to Stop and Shop tomorrow and you see someone, you know, overeating 31 flavors of ice cream, that you feel compassion for them. You know, the whole point is to take it out into your real life. And overkilling it, overloading it. I mean, I've seen Geshe's go crazy. People just before their Geshe exam, like, they go nuts. They go bonkers. They start screaming, running around the monastery. So what's happened to you? He says, you know, I'm waiting for my Geshe exam. Yeah, well, when is it? It's like in a month, you know. And he says, I'm trying to review 1,400 texts. I'm trying to remember, you know, 8 major texts in my mind. And I feel like my head's going to explode, you know. And they actually go bonkers. Like, I've seen people run around the monastery like crazy, you know. And then somebody would say, well, is that really necessary, you know, to know all that stuff? And I think His Holiness is a wonderful example of someone. He knows all that stuff. but it hasn't gotten in his way. You see, like he's digested it. He's internalized it. He can tell you 48 ways to prove emptiness off the top of his head. He quotes the books directly. It drives the translator crazy, right? And but then he turns around and just people, he just loves people, you know? Like in the public talk, he doesn't talk about proofs. He doesn't talk about different school systems. He just talks about being a good person. He called having a warm heart, right? So all this Geshe study by His Holiness stood for his Geshe in 1958. He was 19, you know? There's a film of it. You know, he's been cramming his head ever since. And then all that digestion and all that regurgitation, it should come out in the form of, you know, Mercedes and Will giving a talk at the Christian church to 5 people, 10, 20 people there, you know, and just inspiring them and trying to get them to be good people. But deep down inside, they have all this information for someone who needs it, right? Everybody's different. Everybody will need something different. You will run into hundreds of kinds of different people. They will need different explanations. You see His Holiness talk in 4 cities. He's talking 4 different shticks completely, you know? He's like a chameleon because he has all this information. He can give 14 different presentations. He goes to the monastery, he screams at everybody. You know, forget this Mr. Nice Guy stuff. Forget this old compassion stuff. He's like screaming at, you know, like, I don't think this monastery is running. Like, everyone's an idiot in this monastery. You can't, you guys don't do anything right. You know, and then the next day he's in like Mysore talking to the 5,000 Indian people. He's like, warm heart. You know, you have to have all that inside of you. You are not helping other people if you don't charge yourself with all this knowledge. And then the point is to self-control. When you go give a talk in Grace St. Paul Church, that you just speak in very general, kind terms. But when someone asks you a question, you're ready. Because you had 24 kachiks about it in your mind already. You see? Then you're a real service to other people. Then you can really help other people. We go to Doubleday. We present books to them. Last time we went there, I said, Trace is the guy's name. So how many manuscripts you get every week? He says 1,000. 1,000 people send me their crummy books every week. I have 1,000 envelopes that come every week in the mail, you know? And I said, well, how come you want to do our... How many books do you want to do with us? 22. I have 22 books with you guys. I'm planning to do 22 books. Why? He says, because you have content, you know? Everybody else is just refrying the same old nice guy stuff, you know? And you guys have content, you know? You guys have information. You guys have... The real authentic information from ancient times is in your books, you know? And I'll take any book you or your students can come up with. And he's taking them. You know, he's taken another book last week from one of our students. So that's why you have to be here. And that's why you have to learn all that stuff. Inside, you got 100,000 arguments, Fanny. Outside, have a warm heart. Okay? But then when somebody needs you, you have it. Ready. So keep coming. You don't have to learn Tibetan. You'll get there by accident. One day you'll wake up speaking Tibetan. She can tell you the weirdest times that Sanskrit comes out sometimes. Like just when you wouldn't expect it, Sanskrit starts spouting out, you know? So keep coming and learn it. And it will help you see emptiness. Okay? All right? Okay, we'll do a prayer. Do a prayer for the bunny. Passed away during this class, yeah? And I think it's auspicious for the bunny, okay? For all of us, that we're helping everybody, okay? Here we go. Okay. Good night.